السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. The 23rd of April, it's now 13 minutes past 8. And you are listening to the program known as Streaming Reels every Saturday morning live on Radio Islam International. This morning, both myself and Adil out of studio. And inshallah, we hope to be with you between now and 9 a.m. enjoying a wonderful program with our listeners. The beautiful Saturday morning. You do feel comparatively now slightly, you feel the chill in the air, weather changing slightly, of course, going into the month of winter now. And of course, also not forgetting that getting closer to the month of Ramadan as well. So this is the time that we should, of course, start preparing for that month and start from now on, of course, being such a Mubarak and such a blessed month. We should definitely try to prepare early so that when the month of Ramadan does dawn upon us, then we are not caught off guard and we are not starting now to prepare only when the month starts, because we see how time is going. Before we know it, time is up and that month of Ramadan will come and go by and we won't even be alive. We don't want to be among those people whom the Hadith speaks about. They would be those people who would be left when the month of Ramadan goes away without being forgiven by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without getting such great and tremendous reward from this beautiful month of Ramadan that was drawn upon the Umar Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in less than 40 to 50 days. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those that would make the month, inshaAllah, and among those people, inshaAllah, who would be blessed with many, many, many more Ramadan to come, inshaAllah. Okay, we're going to see if we have Adil with us on the line as well. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And sujati mawl to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners on this very beautiful Saturday morning.
How are you keeping, Adil?
Alhamdulillah, Mulana. Can't complain.
Sound a bit groggy still, Adil?
You know how it is when you have a late night and then you get up early in the morning to prepare to go away for the weekend. So the grog starts in the throat. Sure. So where are you at the moment? Because you sound like you're walking in the bush somewhere.
Well, close to the bush, Adil. Close to the bush, yes. And we're out fishing this weekend, Adil. And Adil?
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm out fishing this weekend, inshallah. We got to the place late last night. Early this morning, went to the waters, alhamdulillah. Lovely feeling. But like as you said earlier on, Adil, if you do feel, of course, comparatively to before or the last 10 hours out fishing myself, you feel that the slight chill and the nip in the air now. You feel the wind also getting slightly cold. Water temperatures drop slowly. So, yeah, of course, we got to enjoy a little bit of winter to appreciate the summer months as well.
Definitely. I was just thinking about the same thing this morning. So you've got the sun shining here, but there is a little bit of a nip in the air, and I'm sure at the water's edge it's going to be even colder. A lot of preparation needs to go into, dressing up correctly and making sure that you take the necessary items and resources that you need for this sort of weather.
Yes, definitely. And of course, unexpected. You know, when you go into the winter months, of course, it's not what you expect generally. You know, you just think you're going to get a hot day. But weather can change automatically, immediately. You know, it can be sunny, bright, warm. But of course, you feel that the chill in the air all the time. And like you said, I mean, you've got to be prepared. You've got to dress adequately for the program as well. And you've got to be prepared when you're out on the water, wherever you can. Yourself, you were mentioning last night that you guys are going to camping for this.
Yeah, inshallah, this weekend we're going out with this group of friends. The thing that has brought this group together is a very unique thing. It's everybody sort of like-minded in terms of, survival and, how to keep yourself sort of ready in different situations. And there's members in the group that are, now doing training with the off-road rescue unit. So there's people with different kinds of skill sets that have come together, and now it's not just a group of individuals that don't know each other. It's we've become such a close unit We call ourselves the survival brothers, you know, or the club survivors, or we've got different names for ourselves in our groups. But the bottom line is that it's a few guys that have got together and have come to, you know, pool our resources in terms of the skills that we've got and use it to train each other. And it's always such an excellent exercise. The last time I remember when we spoke about it on air, we had completed a weekend at Umfula, and it was minus 11 degrees Celsius. That was sort of the weather we were trying to survive in and to see how it is that we could cope. So again, I'm going out with my brothers this weekend, but this time it's a bit different because the theme of this weekend is family. So we all are taking our families with us, the wives and the kids, etc. It's a lot of fun in the sense that we do lots of fishing and, you know, lots of skills, training, etc. But it's all done informally. It is like a family outing, if you want to call it that. But there is a lot of benefit in something like this here, alhamdulillah. And we've seen, you know, that over the last 2 years that we've actually come together, that you know, there's a world of knowledge that has been shared and experienced. So, inshallah, we'll be going out this weekend also to a private farm near New Machawi. And we'll see, inshallah, how it goes. But definitely lots of fishing going to be taking place. So we are preparing ourselves for to do some serious yellow fishing there as well, inshallah.
I think the most important part is what you mentioned earlier. Initially, it was all individual, and at night it's more about a team and unity and brotherhood and bonding. And I think this is very, very important, you know. And I think this is something we want to emphasize on the program itself. I mean, that going out is not just going out there, whether it's perhaps fishing, whether it's hunting, whether it's going out to the park, like now we have many a time on the program, we have different discussions with regard to the Kruger National Park as well. It's more that bonding, that brotherhood, bringing people closer together as well. So I think this is very, very important. And also, like we always say, that whilst we are on a trip like this here, I think another important aspect is another dimension to the deen, you know, reading Salah in the bush, making wudu in different circumstances, of course. Not just opening a tap and then water flowing out, like how we have it very soft generally within our home. So this is, of course, a different challenge, a different type, and something that many times, I mean, for example, if you ever had to look at a situation where the Nabi of Allah spoke about performing wudu and trying to save water when it comes to a river that is flowing, but it's something that, of course, if we were never ever put in a situation, we would have understood.
Mm.
So yeah, I think going out there and then understanding tayammum, for example, as well. Although yes, you're going to be around water, but this is an aspect of practicing or knowing exactly the method of doing it whilst you are out there, and then finding the qibla also, whether it's in the day or in the evening. So all of these type of things, it will bring a whole different dimension to Islam and to understanding many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or many different masail that the fuqaha have actually written down as well.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting that you're saying it like that, because the last time that we went out, one of the exercises that we practiced was slaughtering a chicken. Now, I don't know if you can remember to the time when we had the discussion. It was something so amazing, because we sit in our homes, we phone a guy that somebody delivers the chickens, or you go into the shop or you go to the butcher, and you know the chickens are there, they slaughtered, they dressed, they washed and they cleaned, and sometimes you even forget that the chicken is something that's loving, and it needs to be slaughtered, it needs to be cut before you can actually eat it. And then there's such a it's such an interesting exercise to actually understand what is the correct procedure to cut the chicken, how do you remove the feathers, how do you take out. So these type of exercises that we do are amazing. And today we live in a society where, like I said, you know, we just sit in our homes and everything comes to us, it's delivered, we've got so much of comfort, so much of ease, that sometimes we take it for granted, you know. And then when we are in a situation where you might not, I mean, we were once in Jamaat, I remember, in Uganda, when you have money with you, but when you go to the shops, there's nothing for you to buy. You see, so you don't understand. Sometimes situations can change, and it's good to have practices where you educate yourself on how you can survive in a situation. And I tell you, Manana, it's truly amazing. Yeah.
Definitely, especially for the youth and for our children, because like you say, you know, the probably the previous generation, if you have to ask them, then you know, you would always hear from our fathers and grandparents, who would hear them telling of how many chickens they would slaughter in the yard and in the home, and how you know, they would clean the chicken or the animal or whatever it might have been prior to cooking that meal. In today's time, I mean, really, if you were to go take you in the school, I mean, if you take youngsters up to standard 2, standard 3, perhaps even older than that, and like you said, I mean, we probably don't even realize that it was a living animal before it actually came into your home and things like that. So especially with the youth, showing them the manner and showing them how it's done, so subhanAllah, it's something that really opens the eye and something that can change, understanding for the youngsters, of course, in today's time.
You know what is also very interesting? I've been doing the study on survival for a few years now. And you always find that there are societies or communities, especially rural communities, etc., that when this modern, devices sort of come into their lives, they lose touch with the original way of doing things, and then they forget about how to do it. And this is interesting, because what happens is, if we don't learn how to do things for ourselves. For example, how do I, let's take the chicken, for example, how do you actually slaughter a chicken, etc. You become dependent on somebody else to do these things for you all the time. And this is not a good thing, because, as a Muslim, I don't think we should be dependent on anything or anybody, obviously, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we should be self-sufficient. We should be able to look after ourselves. And because you can't sit there now and say, today I'm not going to be able to eat because I don't know how to, how to get the food that I need to eat, etc. You can't do that. You've got to be able to provide for yourself. That is why it's so important to learn skills that, will help you to do this. And today's youth are completely out of touch with us, especially with the fast food that they eat. It's so easy. I just go to the shop and buy food and eat it. That's not the point. We know the food is available. Yes, it's not. We're not saying don't eat those food. I mean, when time comes, go and take your family and enjoy it. But also experience what it's like to be able to get your own food, even cooking your own food, etc. These are skills that are so important, just so that you don't become dependent on somebody else.
Definitely, and I think this is something that we see a lot of Qurbani families,
It's like, either I'm going to take my money and give it to somebody to do the Qurbani for me, or, somebody else will cut it. But the thing is that there's an essential skill there that you are losing by not practicing on this great sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Definitely. So I think it's an important lesson for all of us listening out there, especially for the parents, getting our youth and our youngsters involved in outdoors, in them experiencing the manner of slaughtering an animal, experiencing the manner of going out and finding that animal, or whatever the case may be. But these are all very, very important lessons and things that are important for us to learn in our life. As I see time running already quite fast. Today we'll be speaking to Brother Muhammad Patel. Last week we began a program with him on boating, and we just discussed basics for now, of course.
Just indicating to me that we can't actually get a hold of Muhammad right now.
Is it?
He has been trying, yeah. So what we'll do is we will try a little bit later on. You're right, time is flying in, we don't know where it goes. The other section that we've got, or the other segment that we've got for today, inshallah, is we will be talking to Farooq Hassan. He's indicating that we're going to go for an ad break now, inshallah. And when we come back from the ad break,
our ad break is the starting of the program already.
We should get, it's not actually the starting of the program, the time now is already 8:29. And so we're already halfway through the program. But now I want to know something from you, because you're very secretive about it. Where are you? I asked you that question 3 times. Where are you fishing?
I never heard it one time.
What did you say?
I said I never heard that question one time.
Conveniently you did it here. Where are you fishing right now?
Well, I mean, because the fishing is so slow, I probably just avoided that question all the time until today. Well, we're out at the Hope Dam again, and one of the places that said that we generally coming at the moment, I think the fishing has been quite so exceptionally good for the last few trips that we've actually been here. But like you said, I think weather-wise, perhaps still a bit early because it's still a bit chilly and could just pick up a bit later in the day. But so far, I mean, in terms of fishing, we have caught a few already, alhamdulillah. But nowhere near where we generally catch or nowhere near one of those amounts. Yeah, for the standard of this day. I mean, you've been here a few times. So you know, of course, the quality that they produce. But like I said, perhaps still a bit early, maybe. Like I said, the wind's still a bit chilly. There's a bit of a chill in the air. So perhaps, inshallah, if it does warm up during the course of the day, it should pick up, inshallah.
Inshallah. So from what time have you guys been on the water already?
Okay. I think whenever I speak to you, I have this sort of baraka from your side, right?
Mashallah, mashallah. So are you on now?
Inshallah.
So like Moana Sajjad is gone off at the moment because he's probably reeling in a fish. So it would be nice if he gave the phone to somebody else so that they could give us a complete commentary of how he's fighting the fish, how he's pulling his face, what sort of noises are coming out of him as he reels this fish in, inshallah. But we will keep you posted.
I lost a fish. Unfortunately.
Somebody else caught it on the boat. Huh?
Somebody else actually caught it on the boat.
Somebody got something on the boat?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but did you have a strike at that time when you were talking?
I heard the fish, and like right in front of the boat, literally the fish got went off.
Because you got, you see, you must buy it hands-free.
Okay, I mean, I got it again, Adi.
Right. Let's hear what...
I think I'm going to have to put the phone down and I'm with you on the
give
phone.
Give it to somebody on the boat. Give it to somebody on the boat so they can give us a commentary. You know you're live on radio now and we want to experience this.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately now I happen to go into a nice, huge, three-year, not being able to control anything that is happening here. But, well, okay, I just spoke to one of the brothers that contacted Mohammed Patel as well. And I think he said he just missed our call early on, so he said we could get hold of him. And then let's go for the back quickly, and then when we come back, inshallah, we'll speak to Brother Mohammed Patel again, inshallah. Welcome back to Radio Islam International, 25 minutes to 9. It is the program known as Training Results. Before the break, we were discussing the importance of being outdoing in today's time and you know, trying to inculcate within our youth, of course, the importance of going out, visiting different areas. But of course, like we said, the important aspect is not just the outdoors part of it, but getting to learn different aspects of our deen and getting to know the importance of finding Qibla when we're out in the day, in the evening, the manner of performing tayammum, the manner of performing salah in these areas, then becoming a musafir. All of these things important. And then we spoke about slaughtering of animals as well. Things that are, of course, very, very important in our time. We might seem or we might feel that, I mean, it's a modern time. When will we ever use something like this here? But never knowing when we will be in a situation where we might need those skills. So something that is very, very important. I didn't said that they're going out this year weekend as a unit, inshallah. And they're going to be having a sort of a family weekend, but of course, survival with the kids, with the family, something that will be quite interesting. Inshallah, next weekend, perhaps we'll hear more from Adil about the program and how it was and exactly what transpired and what new things they learned, perhaps, on that trip of theirs. We then said that we're going to be speaking to Brother Mohammed Patel last week. We started the program with regard to boating and getting yourself started or gearing yourself up with a boat. And we done some basics last week. And we're going to be speaking to Brother Farouk Hassan as well in the course of the program, inshallah, today. Let's just see if we got Adil back with us on the line. He never left us. Adil, are you still there with us?
Assalamu alaikum, Mulana, and to the listeners, once again, we have Hanzala indicating, inshallah, that we've got Mohammed Patel online. But before we go to him, did you land the fish or not?
Nope.
Huh?
Nope. Do we know what it is?
No, you didn't land it. Now, don't blame me and don't blame the Radio Islam listeners.
No, I actually said, you, subhanAllah, I just spoke to you and then immediately, one after another, and then the brother on the boat even caught the third one, but the other part of losing, that part I'm not going to say anything. You know who's to be blamed for that.
We gave you the barakat of the fish biting. Now you needed to have the skill to take it out. So now...
I think when this brother Muhammad Patel comes on air, well, maybe we can ask him for some tips to tell as well.
Inshallah. Muhammad Patel, we know last week you said they do repairs on boats, but obviously the main forte is the sonar and the fish finding gadgets that go on the boats, etc. And maybe I think you need one of those on your boat at the moment. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad Patel, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam, Adil, how are you? And Mulana Sajjad and all the Radio Islam listeners.
Alhamdulillah. Muhammad Sajjad is currently on the water at the wharf at the moment.
I've been hearing on the radio.
Two nice size bears.
Yeah, but Muhammad, you would know who's both and perhaps keeping on, so you'll understand why they're not coming out.
100%, 100%. No, the bear fishing, I tell you, it's a very, very interesting game. I used to be a carp fisherman for years and years, but we found that it came to a point where it just became very, very easy. So bass fishing is one of the greatest challenges, you've got to be constantly thinking where are the bass, what to use. There's so many different strategies, tactics, and it's just a very, very, how can I say, it opens your mind and it keeps you constantly thinking, you know. That's the nice thing about bass fishing.
Definitely. Last week we just started off, of course we spoke basic about boats and building of a boat or how to start off. I thought maybe for today, I don't know if you agree with me, perhaps, I know it was last year or the year before sometime when there were a lot of new rules and regulations that are actually put into place for people that actually have boats or wanting to purchase boats. Maybe you can just take us through some of those laws that actually came out for boats.
Basically, it's simple. I think when purchasing a boat in today's times, make sure that the seller has a valid buoyancy certificate. Buoyancy is now basically the flotation in the boat. The reason for that is organizations like SAMHSA and SETSA have brought this very strict into regulation because we've seen so many boats on the water in rough water conditions that overturn and the boat either sinks. And the problem is, today people don't take safety serious on the water. They think, okay, you know what, we're floating and we're having a good time. But, a weekend fishing trip can turn into a nightmare. Few regulations regarding safety. Buoyancy, a lot of people, just take that for granted. Okay, the guy issued me a buoyancy certificate and my boat's all fine and the flotation's fine. But go one step further, see the type of buoyancy that has been fitted. Now, again, like I say, buoyancy meaning flotation aid in the boat itself. We have different types of flotation. Some people will use bottles, they look like normal water bottles, but the correct bottles to be putting in your boat would be a SAMHSA approved bottle. It has a certain material, like a biodegradable material, number one, and it's completely airtight, in water or anything, doesn't get in there. So it's used for flotation. And then we get polyurethane foam. It's like a expanding foam that you fill in cavities in the hull to aid with buoyancy and flotation of the boat. There are other types of buoyancy. Some people put pool noodles and stuff like that. But the two safest buoyancies I've seen is the polyurethane being number one. Number two, the bottles. We've had so many boats that came in here, not even for flotation. And, we have now and then, just being inquisitive, we open what we call an inspection hatch. Basically, just inspecting what type of flotation that has been fitted into these boats. And we find people put like Coke bottles and funny bottles, and they're all full of water, and it's waterlogged, and that's not going to aid you at all. You know, Malaya, we've been through a situation once, I'm talking many, many, many years ago, where, you know, we started, I'm talking maybe 18, 19 years ago, we just started boating, and we were also excited, and, you know, we were just ignorant about safety and things like that. Then we overloaded the boat in the middle of Lost Kop, like 50 meters deep out in the open. And what happened was, we overloaded the boat, and the boat was very close to the water. And what happened, we had two of these wake boats. Now, the listeners probably don't, some of the listeners wouldn't know what a wake boat is, but a wake is actually like a wave, you know. These boats make big waves, so what happens is the knee boarders and the wakers actually ride these waves and have fun like that. What happened, we had a wake boat come on the right hand side, a wake boat on the left hand side, and we had these two massive waves, you know, come from right and left and over the nose of the boat. And what happened, I wasn't actually piloting the boat. One of my cousins was piloting the boat, and he let go the throttle, so the nose of the boat went down. And within like seconds, that boat overturned, and we were all in the water in the middle of nowhere. None of us had life jackets except one kid. The life jackets were in the boat. And, you know, with the mercy of Allah and Allah Pak's help, within five minutes, we had like six, seven boats surrounding us. They aided everybody to get out there. And I was the last one left in the water, you know, because, I mean, I just bought the boat. I can't let this boat go down, you know. And the boat was floating, but floating because why? We had like 12 life jackets in the hatches that kept it afloat. And since that day, you know, we've taken boating quite seriously. I mean, we've been a couple of times on the Werp Tam where we've seen boats overturn. We've helped a few guys as well, you know, get back to shore. Some of them don't even have life jackets. Some of them, the boat's barely floating, but took a release close to the shore, you know, so we could get the, recover the boat and stuff like that. But, yeah, again, coming down to the basics, you got to have a buoyancy certificate. You got to have what we call a COF certificate. And obviously the main thing, you got to have a valid skipper's license, you know. A lot of people take that also for granted. And they think, okay, you know what, let's just go and do a skipper's license and get it over with. But it's not about getting the skipper's license and getting it done with. There are so much hints and tips on becoming a better skipper, how to ride the waves, what conditions not to be in, and how to handle different conditions, and how to actually pilot the boat, you know. So the thing is, people take for granted, ah, let's get out on the water and just ride the boat. It's very, very dangerous, you know. Like I said in the start, a great weekend can turn into a nightmare, you know. People just don't realize how important safety is in the water.
So, by and large, a lot of these rules and regulations, of course, are for the better and actually to keep you safe on the water.
Gee, 100%. But the sad thing about it all is that majority of the dams don't actually police, you know, these rules, and these, they don't even check these certificates and things like that. So sometimes, you know, people feel like it's a waste to have a renew a COF certificate or a buoyancy certificate. But, you know, I've seen a lot of dams that we haven't had, like the SAP water wing and officers on the water checking, that are now checking, like how to be a sport dam being one, the Vaal Dam being very, very, very strict about it. Vaal River as well. We've got Renosterkop Dam that have become very strict about it. And of late now, a lot of the entrances at how to be a sport dam, when you enter the gate, they will not allow you in without valid papers and documentation, you know?
Mohammed, unfortunately, today we were planning on getting a little bit earlier on so that we could discuss a little bit more about this. But very, very interesting topic. I don't think we should leave it hanging there. We must continue with it. Obviously, safety on the boat would be the first priority before you can even get onto the water.
100%.
And in the coming weeks, we will go a little bit more into that.
You know, these smartphones are not so smart. I don't know why.
No, it's fine. Jazakallah so much for joining us. And we will continue, inshallah, again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
We're going to be getting Farooq Hassan online, inshallah. I'm not sure if Hanzala has already got him on. Maulana Sajjad Kimal, are you there?
100% still with you and our wonderful listeners. And
did you catch a fish yet?
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Yes, I knew you went quiet for a reason. Okay, tell us about it. What size?
Well, no, I never caught it myself. It was one of the guys on the boat. Brother Yusuf Muhammad, the extension 9, he caught this lovely bass, fish, mashallah.
Nice.
And only one thing again happened, Abhi.
What now?
I'm just waiting for you to put the phone down very, very quickly.
You're waiting for me to put the phone down?
Because for the first fish in the row, Abhi. And honestly, I don't know how
you put the phone down. As soon as I put the phone down, you know what's going to happen.
Full on fire, and it will probably actually land then perhaps.
I'm actually the guy that is making the secret dua for you to catch, and you want me to put the phone down.
When I got that first strike, the moment you came onto the phone, I actually was like convinced this is like, you know, Adil Baraka for today and all his duas and things like that. But the moment I lost it, then automatically there was a doubt that kind of crept into my mind. And then the second and the third and the fourth one, it like kind of got confirmed, that it.
No, inshallah. I think the problem is your concentration is not there, but as soon as we end the program, I'm sure you catch. I would have liked you to catch that fish while you on the radio and give the phone to somebody and let them do the commentary of how you're pulling your face and how you're making funny noises, because people don't know that when you fish, then that's how you operate, you see.
Nothing but secrets out of the day, I think.
So how are the sizes now? Are they improving or are they still under 1 kilo?
Definitely, no, definitely they have improved. There hasn't been a single small fish that is actually caught for the day, Adi. Everyone has been, alhamdulillah, decent size. Like I said, of course, the last four, but unfortunately we didn't land, but of course, like, you know, quite close to the boat or jumping out and then releasing the hook. And you know, so we've seen each fish, basically. And this morning, we have seen that we did catch, alhamdulillah, I haven't seen anyone that has actually been under a kilo.
Alhamdulillah, how is the water today? Is there a lot of boats on the water?
Not only comparatively to before, when we actually got onto the water, there wasn't so many boats, and I'm not even seeing a lot of them actually being past us or fishing around us. Yes, the dam, by and large, nowadays are in the east, always a lot of boats, and the dam gets quite busy, but comparatively to previous times, I think it is much less, definitely.
Okay, excellent stuff. Mulana Anza indicating we've got Farooq Hassan on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Farooq.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Hey, we haven't heard your voice in a very long time, Farooq.
It's been a while. Last time we spoke was the last time Mulana was at the WIRP.
No, he said that he goes to the WIRP a lot, but he doesn't tell me or you when he's going, you see, so that's the problem.
I actually wanted to tell you I was sitting in the Kruger National Park, but unfortunately the public holidays and things that actually came in between, so I couldn't actually get some good advice from you, sir.
Farooq, it's a bit of a problem today because we've got such a little bit of time. So I was thinking, rather than going and continuing with our series on the different parks, perhaps you can maybe share with us something interesting that has probably happened in the last couple of weeks, you know, maybe on your trips, something like an incident that you could take out and share with the listeners.
You know, Adil, if we're going to start with that, we're going to run out of time, because since we haven't really spoken about any incidents, you know, in the past few weeks. The last time we spoke, we got a little carried away. But, one thing I can actually highlight is that last week, alhamdulillah, I was in the Kruger Park, but not on the trail. I was fortunate enough to be spending some time with Sheikh Yawar Beg in the country.
Right.
So, alhamdulillah, we had a good 3 days in the Kruger, and, you know, one thing I can say to all listeners is that, you know, when you're spending some time with a person like this who has this passion for nature, and he has, you know, he's got such a vast knowledge about the general natural environment. He spent a lot of time in the Indian forest and the jungles and in the Amazonian rainforest as well. So, you know, listening to him while you're out there, and obviously when you're seeing something or when you're looking at an animal, you know, gives you a very good narration from an Islamic perspective. Mm. Like, you get to learn so much. And just listening to the discussion that you had earlier on about getting the youth out and simple thing like slaughtering a chicken.
Mm.
You know, he's got this vision where they want to create, they started this Standard Bearers Academy where they want to get Muslim youth and groom them, those that have an interest in a similar field or in the field of natural sciences, groom them to a point where you can create a leader on a global scale from among the Muslim community. And, you know, yesterday I seen this just reinforced what happened last night. Last night we had Hafiz Abdussalam Karan from the is the Dean of the Faculty of Agriculture in Stellenbosch University. So he gave a talk last night at the Greenside Masjid, you know, and he spoke only on one topic, and that was about water. You know, it's amazing that the man could speak for over an hour just about the properties of water. And everything that he says, where, you know, what he mentions, where they do different research on the properties of water, and they compile, or he has many professors reporting to him, and they compile these reports of pages and pages and pages, and then he goes back to Quran, and in one ayah, Allah summarizes that entire report.
SubhanAllah.
So, alhamdulillah, you know, that is something that just now reinforces what Sheikh Yawar has, this vision about where we can create this from among our Muslim community. So, G, coming back to, we need to start it at grassroots levels. You know, like, take them out, teach them to slaughter a chicken. Bring Kurbani back into our houses. Mm. You know, it's now gone to the farms, or it's gone to a point where we pay somebody and they do it. We need to get that back. And those youth that express an interest or that show an interest in this, we need to start nurturing this from young, because at the end of the day, they will, at a later stage in their life, probably follow what they like, and then you probably spent a lot of time and energy doing what they don't like, you know. So if you groom them from now, you know, let's try and steer away from just the career path of doctor, lawyer, engineer, you know, these type of things.
Mm.
So, gee, that is now something that I would have just liked to, or that just highlighted the trip that we spent with Sheikh Yawar.
So but yeah, you were the last time we spoke, time, not just the teacher.
Maaf, I didn't get you,
I say, on a trip like that, although you were the supposedly the guide, but you became the student.
No, no, I was definitely the student there. I learned so much from him, you know, alhamdulillah. So, it's good to be spending time with people like this. And alhamdulillah, he's now in the country, at the moment in the Drakensberg, doing an Imam development program. And this is what they want to do, you know, teach in a natural environment where you can bring everything, anything you teach in theory, use a practical example to make sense of it. You know, Ariel, as a teacher, I suppose you would see this as well, that if you know something in practical, you know, in the practical field, it makes it easier to teach because you've got an understanding of it.
You've got a very deep experience behind it. And if you have the opportunity to teach, it's worth it in that environment, it's even better.
There's an Arabic saying, they say that we should ask the experience, not the wise.
True.
Oh, Farooq Hassan, you know, with your gems and your interesting topics, I'm actually reminded right now, because you were talking about that, last week also the kids went on that Junior Rangers program to Marivelle. And my children were with you guys, alhamdulillah, they said they really enjoyed the experience to be out, you know,
it was a very enlightening experience, you know, from our side as well. We don't have much time, so we're going to run basically quickly through it. What happened is we attended the Marivelle Bird Sanctuary, but the month prior to this, we had a bird specialist coming out, and just discussing with the kids about how to use a bird guide, you know, and how to identify birds, because generally if we don't know generally about identifying birds. So if we were to buy a bird guide now, you know, you look at the bird now in the field and you look at this book that's got like over 1,000 species of birds, where do you start looking, you know? So he's given an indication or an explanation of how to use this bird guide. So there's more like a prep for last week's program.
I think again, like what you just mentioned earlier, it's sort of getting the practical out and after having done the theory and going
into the environment. Yeah, it makes sense, you know. So, okay, we didn't get to use the bird guide much last week because when we actually left very early. We left at 6:30, but it was still a little bit late. So it took us about an hour to get there at 7:30. But by that time, the sun was like relatively high up. And we were met by a specialist who's at the Murrayvale Bird Sanctuary, I think, for the past 40-odd years. And he took the kids out in the field, and he explained to them. And I must say, you know, Hamla, we had a very good turnout. I don't know the exact number, but there were in excess of 50 kids that attended this outing. And the guy that we met, Stan Maiden, he was actually very intrigued by it because we've got one or two kids that show a very keen interest, especially in birding. And the questions that he asked, Stan was really very intrigued by it, and he mentioned that this was actually the largest group that he's ever had of kids coming to the sanctuary. So he as well didn't know how to handle such a large group. There were obviously some kids that didn't take full benefit of it because of the large, and he's not a very loud-spoken person, you know.
Right.
But what was very interesting is that he's taken us through the sanctuary and he's explained, obviously it's in a wetland. So there's a lot of birds that come there for the summer, you know, like we spoke about a few weeks back about bird migration. There's a few that visit there for the summer, like the European swallows. And he mentioned that we've just missed them. They've already left and they're on their way back. But now what we've seen was spur-wing geese. They come there for the winter, and they molt the primary flight feathers. So you know they remain there for the entire winter.
Oh, my daughter was actually telling me about that, so she was paying attention.
So yeah, well, what is amazing is that while we were standing at this point, it's a very dense reed bed, and you have these occasional patches of water. We were standing and looking at a few in the water, and overhead, you know, from different directions, you see these geese coming in and they're landing in the water and finding their little spot. That was the highlight, and we got to see some flamingos as well. Can you believe it? We've got flamingos not very far from Joburg. So, you know, just the experience for the kids. I think that really now coming back to what we were saying, nurture the interest, and what will develop from there. And I'm like, we may not see in our lifetime, but if we can have these growing into the fields of whichever interest they have, they will carry it forward. And I'm like, we can get to a point where we have, from the Muslim community, specialists in the different fields of natural science.
Inshallah, Farooq, unfortunately, it's time up. We will catch up, inshallah, with you in the future. And obviously, always interesting topic. It's just that there's never, ever enough time to talk about everything. But Jazakallah so much for joining us, inshallah. We will chat with you in the future.
Ameen. Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. You guys carry on enjoying your fishing?
I've been three landed since we spoke, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, you see there now. It's all the barakat, mashallah. We've come to the end of the program. Unfortunately, I'm sure the new guys already landed. Just before I go off, I just want to ask and request duas from all the listeners for Brother Mohammed Katrara, who's currently not doing too well. He's one of our members in the survivor group. We request duas, inshallah, that everybody make dua that he gets complete shifa. Mulana Sajjad, enjoy yourself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.